Right now, we will hear from a senior NBA writer for The Athletic. The NBA, as always, is getting it done, doing work. Lots of trades getting done. The NBA draft is coming up. We are joined by a good friend of the program. He is Sam Amick. What's going on, Sam? How you feeling?
Romy, hanging in there, brother. How are you?
Good, dude. Good. Appreciate you. It seems like just yesterday that you were in the bubble, and now the bubble is over, and the new NBA season is starting. Trades are already being made. In a second, I want to get Sam to the deals that the Bucks have made. But first off, what was your reaction to the Chris Paul to Phoenix deal?
I love it. I like it a lot, honestly, from both sides. You hear executives say all the time that, you know, they're always trying to find trades that they work for both sides. I think this is one of those. The Phoenix thing, and this has been highlighted, but I still think it's being overlooked a little bit. The personal connections between Chris Paul and the cast of characters on the Phoenix side, I just think makes too much sense. You know, he was with Jeff Bauer, who runs the Suns front office, with James Jones. You know, James, of course, is the GM of that group. James played with Chris, knows him well. And then you got the Monty Williams connection. You know, Chris just absolutely adores Suns coach Monty Williams, who had a fantastic finish in the bubble. And I think what's crazy to me is that the combination of the Suns' strong finish in the bubble and Chris Paul, even though the Thunder weren't able to upset the Rockets, you know, in that playoff series, they came pretty damn close. And you just have this synergy. Like, all right, Chris Paul showed the world that he's still got a lot left in the tank, and Devin Booker needs a running mate. And the West is tough. There's no guarantee for anybody. You look at that entire standings, and maybe there's one team that you can say won't make the playoffs, but I like it for the Suns. And then OKC, they just keep filling up that cupboard when it comes to assets. It's incredible what Sam Presti's done with their rebuild so far.
It is incredible, and he has got an absolute war chest of draft picks, and I love that deal for the Suns. I could keep talking to you about that, but I want to keep moving because there's so many other things. Sam Amick is joining us. Sam, what about the Bucks then? The Bucks make that deal for Drew Holiday and Bogdanovich. What do those two trades say about Milwaukee and their relationship with Giannis?
Yeah, I mean, I like it for the Bucks. Now, like, they gave up a haul for Holiday, and I get that. Some people are being critical of, you know, what they sent New Orleans way. I think it speaks very well of where the Bucks are at with Giannis, and here's why. Like, when they met as a group, Romy, in mid-September, so they have that upset against Miami, everybody's, you know, chins are down on the ground. They meet at Giannis's house for about 3 hours with ownership and management, John Horst, our GM, and they talked about these kinds of moves. And right out the gate, if you remember, in the media, we were kind of speculating about names like Chris Paul and kind of the more shiny star kind of written names. Drew Holiday, you know, is the kind of guy that I think character-wise, talent-wise, just what he is and who he is as a player fits with Giannis, and I guarantee you that he had everything to do with them targeting him. And then Bogdanovich, assuming that deal gets done, that one's a little crunchier because he's a restricted free agent, and that news got out earlier than it probably should have. But Bogdanovich, I've been told, is a guy that Giannis was absolutely targeting and told them to go after. So he's in lockstep with that organization. At this point, I would be pretty surprised if he doesn't sign the Supermax extension that they're going to offer this week, and that deadline is December 21st. So I think for sure it's likely going to pay off for Milwaukee, and we'll see if they can run it back and do some good things.
Sam Amick is joining us. You got me there before I was going to get there, but I was going to ask you, you've written that Giannis repeatedly has made it very clear in the past he does like it with the Bucks. So then how likely is it? I know you just kind of answered that, but how likely is it, in fact, that he will sign that Supermax before December 21st?
I think it's very likely, but with one disclaimer, which is that Giannis and his group have certainly kept things close to the vest. I'm mainly kind of handicapping based on the Bucks' internal belief and their confidence and how they feel. I had one person tell me that even before these trades, they were feeling pretty good about him signing the Supermax. And you go out and get two players of this caliber, I think certainly it makes that even more likely. And you got to remember, too, in the media with the fans, certainly we're going to focus on, all right, how many picks did they give up? It was 3 firsts going to New Orleans for Holiday, 2 pick swaps. It is a lot, but superstars like Giannis very rarely care all that much about draft picks. You know what I mean? He's looking to win a championship next year. And, you know, the bottom line is you got him a guy in Drew Holiday that has 1 year left with a player option the following year. They could extend him. You know, I think they probably have already had those types of conversations off the book, so to speak. So all those things being taken into account, I'd be pretty surprised at this point if he doesn't sign that deal.
I love it. They're all in. These are really, really big swings. I love what it represents for Milwaukee. Of course, Houston tried the same thing, Sam, and then you've got everything going on there. You co-wrote a piece about the Rockets for The Athletic last week. They've already lost their GM and their head coach. Multiple players are frustrated or want out. Exactly what is happening in Houston, Sam?
Yeah, it's just not good. It's crazy how quickly it's kind of gone off the tracks. You know, Mike D'Antoni leaving, while not unexpected, you know, we wrote a lot about that at the time, that was a pretty tense, uncomfortable situation. And so if you're James Harden or Russell Westbrook, you're looking around, you're saying, okay, you know, you guys, in terms of the Rockets, you got sideways with the coach that we were behind, and then he left. Then next thing you know, Daryl Morey, who has obviously been the architect of that roster for so long and a guy with a lot of respect around the league, Daryl is unexpectedly leaving. And then not only that, the narrative at the time, if you remember, Romy, was that Daryl, he needed some time off, that the bubble was very stressful and he wanted to rethink things. And they talked about him taking time with his kids and his family.
Right.
Well, next thing you know, he lands in Philly, you know, so it just, if you're Harden and Westbrook, you got to be saying, what are we doing here? You know, we just lost some foundational members of this entire group. Now, I do feel for Rafael Stone, the new GM of the Rockets, got elevated from the assistant GM role. You know, he's been there. He's got relationships with these guys. But it just, in very short order, we now know that Russ has asked out. We know that James is not happy. And I don't know where they go from here, because from a leverage standpoint, they have none. You know, other than having these guys under contract for the next 2 years, contractually they have that in their back pocket. But in terms of, you know, the other stuff that matters, every other team in the league knows that they're back against a corner here. And they know that these players are, you know, in today's NBA, to their credit, they know how to apply pressure. They know what kind of influence they have. So I don't know how this ends, but the Harden thing in particular is incredibly compelling. If you're talking about him possibly landing in Brooklyn, you know, the next thing you know, we've got another super team in the East that could go toe-to-toe with the Lakers, and you know, I think would be fun to watch, but you know, I'm not sure what direction it's going to go.
I mean, you're right. That's incredible in and of itself. Sam Amick is joining us. So what's your understanding of the relationship between Harden and the Rockets, Sam? Because the first you hear, hey, I'm on board, I'm a part of this thing, and then you hear, I'd be willing to go to these teams, and Brooklyn in particular. Where does the relationship then stand with Harden and the Rockets?
I mean, it's hard to handicap it. So we were hearing a few weeks back that he was kind of unofficially done and ready for a new challenge. Well, next thing you know, when we wrote our piece about Westbrook, you know, that pulse had kind of changed, if that makes sense. And James sounded to be more like things were getting out of control. So he almost recommitted and said, you know, he was locked in for the season, and maybe he just felt like it was getting messy and let me just play ball and see what we can do. Now it seems to have swung the other way. And whether it's Brooklyn, whether it's Philly, if you're James Harden and you have had playoff disappointments for however many years now, and you know how old you are and you know that your window is closing, then, you know, now is probably the time to make sure that you don't burn a year, you know, and LeBron can speak to that better than anybody. You know, guys at that age, and LeBron certainly has a few years on James, but, you know, you can't sit around and play nice for the sake of being politically correct when you are this talented of a player at this stage of your career. And I'm sure James realizes that. And it puts the Rockets in such a pinch, because Rafael Stone is not going to do a deal, I don't think, just for the sake of getting out of this uncomfortable space. You know, it wouldn't shock me if James and Russ were there on opening night. But, you know, a lot could change between now and then.
Yeah, but to your point, though, man, it would be so fun, right? Like, if they could do a deal and he were to end up with Brooklyn, how could you see, or how would you see, a Durant, Harden, Irving big three working out?
Well, I'm here for it in terms of, like, I don't know if it would work out. It probably would work out. But from an entertainment standpoint, it's an incredible mixture of transcendent talents, but also, you know, very unique personalities. You've got a guy in Kyrie that has learned the hard way about wanting to be, you know, the alpha male and wanting to be the guy with the ball. You know, you've got a guy in Durant that's had his own issues with that. He went to Golden State, was good sacrificing his game and his space for a while, and then seemingly wasn't as comfortable near the end. And next thing you know, he was looking for greener pastures. You know, and a guy in Harden, who as amazing as he is, among those three, he would be in for the greatest culture shock of all, because it was an adjustment enough getting used to Chris Paul and then getting used to Russell Westbrook. The idea of sharing the ball with those two guys, where, I mean, James is in the conversation for best scorers of all time, but guess what? So is Kevin Durant. And Kyrie is one of the best in the game right now, too. So I think it would be fantastic. And you add in the coaching stuff, Steve Nash having, you know, a reputation as a guy who is a fantastic locker room presence and a voice and the kind of personality who brings people together, but also a rookie head coach. You know, that would be a heck of a challenge to get the best out of those three guys. And again, I mean, the fan part of me that just enjoys the game would love to see it.
Hell yes. Make that happen. I mean, Sam, to your point about Harden having to share the ball with those two and how challenging that would be, I absolutely agree with that. But I think even more challenging would be Kyrie accepting his role as option number three. That's something I would pay great money to see. Sam, last thought, what about the Lakers? How do you think that they're going to look this season, and how do you think they'll approach it, especially at the start of the season?
It'll be interesting, because it's funny. Ironically, you know, last year it was all about the Clippers and load management and Kawhi, and now all of a sudden it's going to be the other LA team that's mastering the art of load management. You know, the Lakers have every reason, LeBron more than anybody, to, you know, to take their time and to think about the long game and to have LeBron take nights off. You know, not a real shocker when you hear through the grapevine that, you know, he understands the money that's on the table and why they're going to start in mid-December versus mid-January. Doesn't mean he has to like it, you know what I mean? And so I think that's going to be a very real thing with him just taking, you know, nights off on a routine basis. I like the Dennis Schroeder move quite a bit. I mean, Dennis had the kind of the year of his career last year in OKC, and assuming they lose Rajon Rondo, you know, that's a fantastic addition and a guy that offensively is a game changer, because, is, you know, listen, they pulled it off. They won that championship. But night in, night out in the bubble during the playoffs, you saw that once you got past LeBron and AD, they just did not have a consistent third scorer. By the end, it seemed laughable that, you know, we had talked about Kyle Kuzma as being that guy, and whether it was him or the rest of the crew, it was always by committee. They did not have the third person. Dennis can be that guy. So, you know, Lakers are in good shape, still have other options in the next week or so, but I like what they've done.
Right. He is a senior NBA writer for The Athletic, good friend of the program. He is Sam Amick. Sam, appreciate you very much. Great job. Always good to have you in the jungle.
You got it, Romy. Thanks, brother.
Take care, Sam. Good job. Sam Amick. All right, so I mentioned we were going to front load